All right, so today's second hour is really a extension of the first hour. And for the video, let's just pick up the three verses that we studied in the morning hour. So for the video, you might want to even consider going back and studying. You'll look for the one that says Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, which was our study this morning. Let's read those three and then go into the second hour study. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 11, 12, and 13. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Can you get that for one again? Okay, those three verses right there. And I just made the comment in the first hour, and now we're going to talk about that comment. And that is, in the book of Galatians, first book that Paul wrote, you can, where you know it talks a lot about circumcision, the whole book being about grace versus the law, right? And circumcision throughout. Because that was the big thing. Everywhere Paul went, well, who is this guy telling us we don't need to be circumcised anymore? And then they come in and you got to get circumcised. Yeah, maybe you got saved by the gospel of Christ, but now you got to get circumcised. Even if it's just an outward sign of the inward flesh, sort of. You got to get circumcised. Acts 15, you know, we read. Actually, let's go back there for the second hour. Galatians chapter 2 was a great one to add to this. Chapter 2. Verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might deliver us into bondage. And we just read in chapter 6, to make a fair show in the flesh. Well, today, in the year 2014, circumcision isn't the issue, because the transition is not from the Jews to this new church that Paul was starting, called the church which is the body of Christ, where he first starts preaching in Acts 13, first saved in Acts 9, of course. But in Acts 13, the first time we see Paul preach the gospel of Christ. And we know, by all of the 13 chapter, almost half the New Testament written by Paul, that when a person is saved, they're baptized by the Spirit. Right then and there, they're sealed unto the day of redemption. And they're made a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. All of that happens at the exact same time. All right, so the transition going on during the book of Acts was from, you know, this 1,500 years of Jewish law. And the Jews being God's chosen people. Actually, more than 1,500 years, because circumcision went back before Moses, back to Abraham. All right, it was 1,500 years from Moses to the cross with the Levitical law. All right, so 1,500 to 2,000 years of the law. And now this guy Saul, a year after the crucifixion, gets saved, and a few years later starts preaching the gospel of Christ. Maybe he did before, but the first time we have an accounting of it is Acts 13. And here we are in Acts 17 when he writes the book of Galatians, or Acts 16 even. Okay? And it's circumcision. Circumcision, because that was, as we talked this morning, the ceremonial law of the time. You know, what did John the Baptist have to do? Come back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Starting in, I'm in the wrong chapter, that's why. Okay, in verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. Actually, before we start reading here. So we're going to talk about ceremonial law, and so circumcision being one, the other being water baptism. And watch back here. So 3:22. And these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. Jesus is baptizing, right? And John, verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. Obviously, water baptism, can't miss it. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Okay, so there's baptisms going on. Now, verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. There's a good place to know that water baptism has to do with purifying. And they said unto John, and they came unto John in verse 26, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Now, so all men are coming unto Christ now for water baptism. It's becoming the ceremonial law back here at this time. And on this goes. And of course, Peter in Acts 2:38, you know, after he preaches the murder indictment and the famous 2:38, you know, the men realize, you know, Peter says, looks at the cross and preaches murder. You know, you guys screwed up. That man that hung on the cross, he is both Lord and Christ. And he stopped. That was the end of his message. And some of the Jews believe that, and they say, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? We screwed up. We get it now. Then Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Right? Okay, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Today, having said all that, what I would suggest to you today is, and in the book of Galatians, today's ceremony that has taken over what circumcision was back in this time period, water baptism is today in the year 2014. You want to split a church? Decide whether water baptism is for us today or not for us today, whether it's for salvation or not for salvation. You know, let's look at two doctrines, very formative denominations today, Baptist and Church of Christ. Both are very big denominations in most towns. But boy, they both take the same verse. Acts 2:38 is a main verse for the doctrine of their church. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Baptists take that and say, repent to be saved, and then be baptized as an outward sign of an inward faith. Church of Christ says, that's not what the verse says. It says, repent and be baptized. Then you get remission of sins. I mean, they are split big time on that. And I would say, if you think that verse is for today, it's obviously scriptural. It's in your Bible. It's not dispensational for the year 2014 to put yourself under that verse. It's for the Jews. It's for the kingdom church. And it'll be in effect out here as well again when the 12 are, out here, when the 12 are sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That comes back into effect. But today, it's not. It's the gospel of Christ. That's why Paul's talking against it. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, they glory in your flesh. Okay? It's a ceremonial activity, a ceremonial law. But we're not under the law, and that's what we're going to look at now. Okay, I've made a statement, I've told you what I'm going to tell you. Now let's go do it. Let's look at scriptures about that. Is that true or not? Stephen, what are you basing that? Come on, all these big churches do that. It's water baptism. All right? So, we're going to go back and look at some things. First of all, let's look at in the book of Ephesians. One book to the right is Ephesians. And go to chapter 4. So, this would be after Acts 28. So, in Acts 9, you know, we have Acts 2. For Paul, put him down here. Acts 9 is when he's saved. Acts 13, first time he preaches the gospel of Christ. Around Acts 17 is when this book of Galatians is written. Now, the end of the book of Acts is Acts 28. Then begins the dispensation of the grace of God, according to Ephesians chapter 3. But Ephesians 4, watch what he says here. So, in this time period, in the year 2014, is in this time period, here's what he says in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, the unity of the Spirit. And there's going to be seven unities here. The number of perfection. Verse 4, there's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many baptisms?
One.
One. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay, so we know there's one baptism. We have to figure out now by Scripture, which is the one baptism that will give unity of the Spirit in verse 3. Matter of fact, if there's one thing that causes disunity in the year 2014, it's water baptism. You know, how many of you ever been part of, you know, some pretty serious arguments because of water baptism? It is absolutely the ceremony for 2014 that causes the most issues. All right? Do you do it as an, you know, water baptism? You know, look at the circles that do water baptize. Do you have to do it as an infant? Can you do it as a child? Does it count if you did it in a different denomination? I'll never forget back before I got saved, before I saw Bright Division, when I was 17, I got baptized. I was in the Nazarene denomination when I got baptized, but they don't really water baptize much. We had to use the Baptist church down the road, so it was a Baptist church, and use their baptismal where I got water baptized at the age of 17. Before I met Kim, just as I was meeting Kim, just before I met her, I'm in Mobile. And, you know, I wanted to meet some good girls. Where are you going to meet them? In a church, right? And so, this isn't where I met Kim, by the way. So I want to get myself really in a hole if I go any further with that. But anyway, so it was a Southern Baptist church. They had 10,000 members at this church. I figured I'm going to go to the biggest one. And anyway, I wanted to join the church, probably second time there. And they said, well, you got to have your letter of transfer, they called it. And so I come back the next week with my letter of transfer. And they read it, and they say, it's from the Nazarene church. Well, that doesn't count. Why not? Because you got to get baptized. Well, I was. Well, you got to get baptized in the Baptist church. Well, I was. What do you mean? We use the Baptist church. And they had the biggest, does that count or not? Come back next week. They had to have a conference for the week to figure out if I could join this church, because I got that water baptized in a Baptist church, but I was a Nazarene, so does that count or not?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's real. That was me. All right, that's my story. Anyway, just...
Like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But it really did happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that happened to you.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. And it's that exact time. Within a week or two of this, does that baptism count or not, is when I met, in the same weekend, Jerry Lockhart and A.J. Krause, A.J. being my brother-in-law, you know, Kim's brother. How about that? Kim's brother. Now that I'm married to his sister. See? I'm learning. I can be taught. It only takes me 30. Okay, I told you I'd dig a hole deep enough. But I met those two guys, and Jerry says, hey, you know, I teach a Bible study at AJ's house on Sunday nights, and oh, by the way, he's got this sister you really ought to meet, and lo and behold, for 31 years now, she's been my wife, and praise the Lord for it. Okay?
No amen.
No amen. Yeah, really. Wow.
Great job.
Yeah. This hole's getting deeper and deeper. Which baptism is Ephesians chapter 4? Now let's come back to it. And again, unity of the Spirit. We're looking at, by Scripture, which is that one baptism. All right, everybody with me? So, to get started, we've clearly established that out here in the dispensation of the grace of God, there is one baptism. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Which one is it? So let's go back and look at a few things. Romans chapter 6. So the first passage we're going to look at is Romans chapter 6. Now, Romans being written during the book of Acts, which is okay. Paul wrote it, first one he wrote that shows up as Scripture. Verse 3, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Once again, you'll have the Baptists using this. You'll have Church of Christ using this. I don't mean to leave others out. Just those two are very different on how does water baptism apply today. My question still is, which baptism is this? And we don't know yet by the verse. But just look what it says. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. And those that believe in water baptism today would suggest it. So it's the water baptism that baptizes you into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so many would use this with the water baptism. And so when you're dunked, or excuse me, I don't need to talk about which way a baptism counts, and which, you know, there's a whole other one. You got to be fully dunked. No, you can be sprinkled. Partial immersion works. I mean, the splits that can go on and on today is unreal. Now, again, my question is it water baptism or a different baptism? And speaking of which, some people say, what do you mean there's more than one baptism? Hold your hand right here in Romans 6. Come back to Matthew chapter 3. Show you three baptisms in one verse. Matthew chapter 3, in verse 11, we're going to see three baptisms in one verse. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. Well, there you go. There's water baptism. See? It's for today, right? Water baptism for water unto repentance. But he that cometh after, so this is John the Baptist talking, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's three baptisms in one verse. So see, there are many different baptisms. Yet in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said, in the unity of the Spirit, there's one baptism. Which one is it? Okay, now back to Romans 6. So we're baptized, verse 4, we're baptized with him into death, we're raised with him. And verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And of course, many would say, as they're dunking him, that, see that, there go all of his sins, and the outer man is gone away now, the fleshly man's gone, and they bring him up, the new man in Christ. All right? So just keep that one in mind. Come to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Remembering what we just read there in Romans 6. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. Paul says this starting in verse 10. He says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised. Well, here we go into circumcision. Ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So is that a physical or a spiritual circumcision? Okay? Spiritual circumcision. It's made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So it's got to be spiritual circumcision. Next verse continues right on. Buried with him in baptism, like Romans 6. We're buried with him in baptism. We're circumcised with him a minute ago. Wherein also ye are risen with him. We are resurrected with Christ. With him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. We're quickened together with him. We're made alive with him. Obviously, all of these are spiritually. Right? I mean, it can't be physical. And the next phrase there, you can't leave out. So, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, past, present, future. Claim that verse, Colossians 2:13. All of your trespasses have been forgiven. There's your verse right there. And that's a big amen for sure. All right? So here we are again. We're still talking about some spiritual things going on. Okay? Can we nail this down? Let's grab another passage. Okay, so this is all spiritual. Think about the passage. Actually, get 1 Corinthians 12, and then also go back to Romans 6. So 1 Corinthians 12, put your hand there on the way back to Romans 6. Since we just read Colossians, I want to go back and read Romans 6 again. Then we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12. Remember, there's one baptism, Ephesians 4, 5. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I do read another passage. I don't want to confuse this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we see all these baptisms going on around here, right? Romans 6, Colossians chapter 2. All right, now, what baptism is it? Because we know they're both the same. They're both, everything there is spiritual, but now watch. Chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How are we baptized? By the Spirit. At the moment of salvation, we're baptized by the Spirit. There's our baptism today. There's the one baptism in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Let me also put down here, then we went to Colossians 2, 11 through 13. And now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Okay? So there's our passages that show us which baptism is he talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. At the moment of salvation, at the moment, we saw ourselves as a lost sinner doomed for hell. And we look back to that cross and realize that when that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, hung on that cross and shed his blood, he was paying the penalty for our sins. He took those sins to hell, and on the third day, God the Father raised him for our justification. The moment we put our faith and trust in that and that alone, we're saved, we're sealed, we're baptized by the Spirit. There's our baptism. Into it. We're crucified with him spiritually. We're buried with him spiritually. We were risen with him spiritually. We're quickened. We're made alive with him spiritually. Obviously, physically, we're all still sitting here just like we were at the beginning of this study. Okay? But that's the one baptism. And, I was just setting something up. Okay, some people say, well, wait a minute. I thought Paul baptized, and now he's talking about spiritual baptism. Now you're trying to tell me that in Ephesians 4, that's what he was meaning. Well, yes, that's what he's meaning. Let's go back and look at. So while we're in 1 Corinthians 12, come back to 1 Corinthians, the beginning of the book, chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, that I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. So let's stop right there. Well, are you talking about spiritual baptism or water baptism? Definitely it's water baptism. Okay? But notice what he said at the end of verse 16. I know not whether I baptize any other. Now, wouldn't Paul know if he had baptized more than four or five people? No. If that was part of the program, he would have baptized everybody. And he would have known it. And he certainly wouldn't have said, I thank God I baptized none of you. That's a pretty strong statement. Let's look at why did. If that water baptism wasn't for the program, why did he baptize them? Okay, let's come back to Acts chapter 17. Remember, the book of 1 Corinthians is written in Acts chapter 20. Let's set it up here. Acts 17, the middle of verse 1, Acts 17, middle of verse 1, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Okay, Paul, as his manner was, at that time, Acts 17, and up to 20. He always went to the synagogue. We could look at this in many passages, and we would see that Paul is going come to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, wrought with them, for by occupation they were tent makers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Okay, so he's going to the synagogues first, Paul, as his manner was. Come now to Acts chapter 20, which is when he is in Corinth. I'm sorry, back to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, where we just were. So verse 4, every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. All right, now come down. Let's just keep reading, because this is what happens each place he goes. 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they, the Jews, had opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Okay, he's released from the Jews. You know, it's still what God promised to Abraham back here in Genesis 12. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. That's why Paul's still going to the Jew first. Now verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, right next door to where they were. Okay? So Paul's obligated, goes to the synagogue, goes right next door after the Jews blaspheme. Watch verse 8. And Crispus. Whoa, Crispus? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Acts chapter 18, verse 8. And Crispus. Yeah, same guy. We're in Corinth here. And Crispus. Who is he? The next phrase. The chief ruler of the synagogue. He's therefore a Gentile, right? No way. Obviously, he's a Jew. He's the chief ruler of the synagogue. He believed on the Lord with all his house, and hearing many of the Corinthians and hearing believe, and were baptized by Paul, as he said in 1 Corinthians 1. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by the vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Okay, so there we go. Right there is why Paul baptized a few of these people in Corinth. They were the Jews that followed him. And they would have, it was part of the Jewish law, part of the Jewish custom. Okay, but that's why later on Paul's going to say, no, there is one baptism in Ephesians 5. You know, it's going to be many years later when he writes that. And that's spiritual baptism. As he said in 1 Corinthians later on in that same letter, chapter 12, for by the Spirit are ye baptized. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read it earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, so that's our baptism. And so there was a reason. Remember, the book of Acts is a transitional book. The first 7 chapters are a transition from 1,500 years of Levitical law, Mosaic law, to the kingdom church, the church that the 12 started. Then, when Paul is saved in Acts 9, when he first starts preaching in Acts 13, it's a transition from the doctrine of the kingdom church to the doctrine of the church, which is the body of Christ. Those two always stayed separate. Paul says in Romans he never went to any place where Peter preached and where the doctrine of the kingdom church existed. Actually, from 1 Corinthians 1, flip back one page to the left. Romans 15, Romans chapter 15, and in Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, Paul says, Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. He never went to where Peter had preached. That's exactly what he just said right there. And of course, back in Acts 14, 15, 16, back in there, when he tried to go into Asia, the Spirit suffered him not, and that's when he went into Europe instead. Okay, because that's where Peter was in Asia. So Paul never went there. He never preached. And so that's the transition. We always say, never get your doctrine in the book of Acts, because there are so many transitions going on. That's why the book is called The Acts of the Apostles. We're seeing what all the apostles, all 13 of them, what they did. There's the 12. And there's Paul. 17 times he tells us he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter and the 12 were told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 10, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. And as you go, preach, repent, for the gospel, or for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The 7 years... the 1,000-year reign preceded, we know, by the 7-year period of Great Tribulation. Okay, so there's your scriptures for water baptism today. We know that there's one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. These three are all very clear, showing us that it's spiritual baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 now says, For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body. That's how we have the unity of the Spirit here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. And that's why Paul says, I thank God I didn't baptize anybody else. Okay? If water baptism was today, how in the world would we have a verse where Paul, who writes 13 out of 27 books of the New Testament, say, I thank God I baptized him. And go back to 1 Corinthians 1. I needed to finish with one more verse there. I stopped intentionally before adding the last verse. And then we'll be done. So again, in verse 14, he said, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest then he should say, I baptized my own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Boy, it'd be so easy. I should just shut up. I got to add one thing right there. Here's one more place where you know that you have the Word of God in your hands with the King James Bible. Another doctrine that comes under scrutiny, which I'm not going to go into here, but is eternal security. Can you lose your salvation? Many think you can. Many think you have eternal security. Here's a verse that all other perversions of the Word of God do a great job of creating doubt of eternal security, because they add us one single word. In verse 18, it says, at the end it says, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. Being is not in the King, in the Textus Receptus. It is not in your King James Bible. That's why it says you are saved. When you're saved, you have it. You have eternal security, because we also are sealed. Our being saved would be an ongoing thing. I think of two or three people right off. I'm in the process of being saved. You know, are you saved? I'm in the process of being saved, this person said to me. In the process of? How do you sleep at night? How do you, either you're saved or you're not. If you're in the process of, you're not. What if you get hit by a car today? Would you like to settle it right now? Simply believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed his blood, yeah, he was paying a penalty not just for the sins of the world, but for your sins. Took your sins to hell, and he was raised again for your justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.